Hogstop Hour. I can't think anything that rhymes with husky, so I'm on the radio and not on the bus.
I kind of roughly bum him, give him a dry shafting, etc. Now, I never really... You find someone's gay, the last thing you do to punish them is give them a good bumming.
I got sent some Valentine's cards. No, not real ones. They're just joke. And I shall read the messages for you as it is Valentine's Day when you are thus listening to this. That's my impression of... what's his name? That little gangly twat with the funny hair. Swears at old men. Russell Brand. He always says dustly, thus, thus, thus. Thinks he's the architect of the Matrix. It's his problem. Anyway, I've got some Valentine's card. And the first one is, "Oi you, it's Valentine's Day. Knickers off." Card is for my bit of crumpet. That Valentine's Day, all she wanted to hear was, fucking hell, I'll fuck that right up. You fucker. That Valentine's Day, all she wanted to hear him say was, "I love." All he wanted to hear was his balls slapping against her ass to my sexy boyfriend. As she wrote a Valentine's message to her lover, she couldn't remember how to spell penis, even though earlier it had been on the tip of her tongue. Risque that one. Valentine. I've never taken advantage of a woman who's had a drink on Valentine's Day, she says. I might as well piss off then. This picture got a picture of a bloke looking down. That Valentine's Day, as she unzipped his flies, he couldn't help thinking, not a bad return for a bunch of flowers and a box of chocolates. Virginminarians. Weak tree-hugging, pasty-faced, welly-wearing hippies. Virginminarians. Anyone who eats bean feasts, Virginminarians. Just turning a human into a cow methane-producing fart machine. Virginminarians. News nugget. Oh, I can't remember, I've forgotten the title for this one, but it's quite peculiar. Residents in a rural area of Darwin have renamed their street Dildo Boulevard after 30 sex toys were found lying in front of a house on Friday morning. Like the particular day matters. Robert Johns and Laurie Bates discovered the mysterious toys as they left for work. And they're not toys. Dildos aren't toys. You don't give them to children now, do you? They said, "It's a real mystery. We have no idea where they came from." Mrs. Bates said, "I know they aren't new. They look used." Ah, no. What the fuck? What the fuck happens? You find 30 used dildos outside your house. What? You must be thinking, shit, how come this didn't even wake me up? I mean, what the hell was going on with 30? Was it some naughty teen, some wife? Thought, shit, my husband's going to find out about my dildos. I've collected a few over the years. Holy shit, 30 of them to be precise. Mr. John said he counted the sex toys on Friday morning and the numbers had decreased within 24 hours. He said, yeah, some of the bigger ones are gone. I mean, that is pretty low, isn't it? Stealing used dildos that found in the street. I know you can wash them, but you will always be thinking, someone has been sticking this up their chuff. I don't want to borrow that, thank you very much. No. You don't even know who's used it. Any old bugger of that as well. I'm going to pass on that opportunity, thank you very much. Bastard. To catch you out. Bastard. Bastard. I know, I tell you what, that paperclip is a little bastard. Get rid of him. Today, someone in the office says, "Look, we've got to expect the unexpected." I said, "What the fucking hell does that even mean?" I said, "How? How are we going to do that? How do you expect the unexpected? Because if I was expecting it, then that's not unexpected, is it? That's to be expecting the expected. How do you prepare for the unexpected? What do you want us to do?" I mean, what a pointless piece of air that's farted out of his mouth. Expect the unexpected. Awesome. Good work, sir.
1-0 to the Husky. And I was like, what? That's what I'm talking about. Movie cliches. I was thinking about movie cliches today. And the one I was thinking about was the one where, in the film, someone finds out someone's gay or something like that. And then to teach him a lesson, they kind of roughly bum him, give him a dry shafting, etc. Now, I never really understand why they're... If you find someone's gay, the last thing you do to punish them is give them a good bumming. Surely that's playing right into the gay person's hands, isn't it? That's what they do. You know, for their sexy time, that's what it's all about. I don't really understand. Is the bloke, are they closet homosexuals, or what are they doing exactly, believing that this is going to set that gay bloke on the straight and narrow, or show him what he's doing wrong by doing it to him? You know, this doesn't, you know, and secondly, in no way whatsoever really is bumming someone a teaching tool. You know, I'm going to show you a lesson, right, get your pants down, I'm going to give you a good bumming. That's not the way you go teaching people things. You know, and to be brutally, you know, if they started using that in schools, it'd be anarchy. And to be brutally honest, you know, that bloke's not going to, he's not going to understand. He's not going to be, I don't think he's going to learn much from this lesson because it's pretty bloody confusing. Doesn't really explain to him at all in my eyes. You know, that bloke's novice, not an educator. It's not an educating tool to help pass on knowledge from one person to another. Deary me. You know, you might possibly be get away with using it to help explain things if, you know, you say if you get any questions wrong on your homework, that's what you're getting. So I don't think you should use that with your own children, or anyone else's actually. But maybe if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, could really, you know, I'd possibly, if anything, use it more as a reward. You know, if you do well on your test, you get a bit of sexy time. You know, that maybe is more where you want to be aiming this. And I probably wouldn't say bum fun is really the way you want to go. I mean, no one's going to get pregnant. The only way it's going to teach someone a lesson, really, is if you have, some books on the floor as well. You keep going until they've finished the chapter on physics. Anyway, that was the film cliche I was thinking of the other day. Woo! Top deck. Placebo effect. One top deck. You're like, whoa, I am smashed. Woo! Been going to the Empire Cinema now for, well, more years than I'd like to recount, really. You know, I went as a young lad. My dad took me, but he's, you know, it's been a tradition in our family because his dad's dad's dad took him, his dad, who is kind of great-great-grandfather, and then he started it by taking his son, who is my dad's dad relative, and every Saturday they'd go for the 12 o'clock matinee, and that was, you know, and so it continued down until it got to me and my dad, and he took me, and then 12 o'clock, you know, I remember the first time, you know, going to this huge, the Empire Cinema, massive, and you'd walk in, and I'd pictures of all these famous movie stars, and there was sweets and Coca-Cola and kind of the traditional old carpets. Oh, it was a real event. You had to enjoy it, you know, especially it was spellbinding, you know. And then so every Saturday, 12 o'clock, me and my dad still went, you know. So I'm 50 now, he's 80. Of course, it stopped last week. Unfortunately, he passed away, you know. So I have to now think about the consequences. And I just sort of think, what a fucking relief that is. I have to go and watch those fucking shit films every week. Oh, and the old bastard, what did he like? Who was his favourite actor? Adam Sandler. Oh, yes. He loved him. Every film we had to watch, he was on. And, you know, now, finally, I've got my bloody Saturdays back. So I'm glad he's dead.
This.
The Hoskinator.
He's a multi-capable masterpiece. He can squeeze the colour from a ruby or deftly pluck the eye from a living bird. And he's been programmed to enjoy what he does.
News Nugget. I had a good one today. It's a short-sighted Australian farmer set his house on fire. Now, you know, these Australians, they can be... He could have been having a few Fosters, shrimps on the barbie, oh, and then all of a sudden the house is burnt down. Or he could have mistaken his fridge for the fireplace. As, you know, easy mistake to make, isn't it? One's really hot with flames, the other one's cold with probably food or beer in. Some good points here. Firstly, his name is Adolf. Now, come on. Oh, he's 87.
could have got away. I mean, I do, there's not many people called Adolf these days, is there? You know, there's a bit of a stigma attached to it. Calling your child Adolf, people just tend to focus on the war a little bit, so that's not so good. But he's 87. The door of his fridge had been left open. He decided it was so cold he ought to light a fire in the fireplace, which was next to the fridge. He said, I put fire lighters and wood in what I thought was the usual place. Suddenly there was smoke everywhere. I thought it was cold when I lit the match. Now I know why. I mean, Jesus. I mean, how blind do you have to be to mistake the fridge for a fireplace? I mean, firstly, how many fireplaces have a door on it, and when you open it, the light comes on? And he said he was short-sighted, but I thought, you know, when you lose one particular aspect or facility, like eyesight or ears, the other ones get extra sense. They just beam up, they times up, and you're like a superhuman that can hear, like, if you're short side, you can hear like pin drops and just conversation the other side of the pub, etc. He, on the other hand, his senses were so, he put his hand in the fridge thinking, this fireplace is a little bit cold, isn't it? And it's got lights and shelves on. And look, someone's put some milk in here. I mean, I don't remember this door being on the fireplace. What the hell's going on? Quick, I'll put some I can't even imagine what it looked like. Fire lighters in the fridge, and then him trying to light it. Bloody Australians. Animals. Good work there.
A swordsman such as me. That made her go, and leap out the bed. About to make sweet love to the missus. That made her go, and leap out the bed. I go through a vigorous warm-up. A few star jumps, stretches. That made her go, and leap out the bed. You know, you want to hit the ground running. Oh, God. Made her go, and leap out the bed.
I read this week about Microsoft employees. It said one of the questions they ask, why a manhole cover is round? And a breath sent us right upstairs. Don't say that if you're going for an interview, of course. I just thought, what? It's one of those little smart aleck asked questions to catch you out. I mean, what's that going to fucking tell you about anyone? Because I was there thinking, man, what am I thinking about manhole covers? What stupid question interview, man. It's not like, what's wrong with bloody Microsoft? I know, I tell you what, that paperclip is a little bastard. Get rid of him. Go on, get out. And they'd be like, yes, sir, you're in tune with the masses. And we'll replace him with like a stapler. Oh, get out. Who did invent that paperclip? Bloody. What's that got to do with computers? A paperclip. Surely they should be... Like, it should be a robot, if anything. This is the future. But manholes, you know, bloody manhole covers. And I said, look at this, my brother. Oh, a silly question. He goes, well, they're round, aren't they? So that you could never throw the manhole cover down there if you've gone down the manhole, because it's round, it won't fit. I was like, how the hell do you know that? It's just, to me, it was one of those questions which is just like, this is so stupid, I can't be bothered to answer it. I can't even bother to think about that. That's so bloody dumb. I mean, but that's it, though. You probably either know that, or you wouldn't. And you would garner no bloody knowledge about this person, unless they say, this is bloody stupid. I don't want to work here. If that's what you spend all your time doing, talking about manhole covers, I'm out. Then tell Bill Gates to stick it!
Well, I have often startled myself with a snake-like appearance between my legs. Movie cliches. I was thinking about movie cliches today, and the one I was thinking about was the one where, in the film, someone finds out someone's gay or something like that, and then to teach him a lesson, they kind of roughly bum him. Give him a dry shafting, etc. Now, I never really understand why if you find someone's gay, the last thing you do to punish them is give them a good bumming. Surely that's playing right into the gay person's hands, isn't it? That's what they do. You know, when they, for their sexy time, that's what it's all about. I don't really understand. Is the bloke... Are they closet homosexuals? Or what are they doing exactly, believing that this is going to set that gay bloke on the straight and narrow? Or show him what he's doing wrong by doing it to him? You know, this doesn't... You know, and secondly, in no way whatsoever really is bumming someone a teaching tool. You know, I'm going to show you a lesson. Right, get your pants down, I'm going to give you a good bumming. That's not the way you go teaching people things. You know, and to be brutally, you know, if they start using that in schools, it'd be anarchy. And to be brutally honest, you know, that bloke's not going to, he's not going to understand. He's not going to be, I don't think he's going to learn much from this lesson because it's pretty bloody confusing. Doesn't really explain to him at all in my eyes. You know, that bloke's not, it's not an educator. It's not an educating tool to help pass on knowledge from one person to another. Deary me. You know, you might possibly be get away with using it to help explain things if, you know, you say if you get any questions wrong on your homework, that's what you're getting. I don't think you should use that with your own children, or anyone else's, actually. But maybe if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, you could really, you know, I'd possibly, if anything, use it more as a reward. You know, if you do well on your test, you get a bit of sexy time. You know, that maybe is more... where you want to be aiming this, and I probably wouldn't say bum fun is really the way you want to go. I mean, no one's going to get pregnant. The only way it's going to teach someone a lesson really is if you had some books on the floor as well, and you keep going until they've finished the chapter on physics. You know, that was the film cliche I was thinking of the other day.
She was laughing at poo from my bum that I couldn't control and left on my pants.
Is that funny?
Yes, of course it is. All poo's funny. I was just walking around at lunch and I came to the spot again and the fucking geese were there once again blocking my path. And I was thinking of playing like geese chicken, if that sounds stupid, but it is. If I ran at the geese shouting and exuded confidence like I wasn't going to stop, would the geese know that and move out of the way? Would they, like Moses, part like the sea? Or would they all attack me, little bastards and peppy? I walk round them, and as I was walking round, I was thinking, if one did attack me, what would I was thinking, I'd go for the kick, I think. Front snap kick, maybe a side kick, keep them back. They've got a long reach for those necks. And I realised, what am I doing? Here I am visualising me ninja kicking a bloody goose, I was going to say between geese and goose then, goose, ninja kicking a bloody goose. What am I, a bloody freak in a circus? Come on, you don't see people kicking geese in real life, it doesn't happen. And the only time you see these kind of things happen is on bloody, you've been framed, and then all of a sudden the bloody goose attacks someone over a sandwich or something, so I thought, fucking, I'm not going to risk it. Or if I am, I should get someone to film it, so at least I'll get 250 smackers and fame on the telly being attacked by goose. But I didn't, so there.
I've got my letter in the size. No, I'm in front of it. Hate me, go cut my plot. Never swear in front of none. Show your bump in a gay bar.
Right, I was reading The Sun this week for research for the show, obviously. I didn't enjoy looking at the boobs on page 3. I didn't even know they're there, in fact. Anyway, obviously the reader's letters I do enjoy. I just, you know, they're... I love the fact that people have problems and they just think, I know who's going to help me out. That lovely Deirdre woman and The Sun. Anyway, here's a sort of a classic example of them. They usually sort of they have random facts splattered in the middle as well, but they start off nicely. So it goes off. My best friend and I are like sisters, and I stay at her house loads. See, that's nice, but you can sense a little bit of danger coming up in their horizon, I think. It goes on. But these days, I just go there for sex with their dad. Oh dear, you see what happens? You know, best friend's my ass. What kind of best friend goes round to have sex with your dad? None of my mates did, I tell you. Now, for those of you who aren't connoisseurs of the Sun's readers page, it starts off innocent statement, then comes a sort of sucker punch, and then they kind of describe how it all pans out and how they got to this situation. So this is how it first occurred, how she sort of got it on with the dad. We were there back, we went out drinking, blah blah blah, had a good time. And then we went back to the friend's house, and my friend said she was tired and going to bed, leaving me with her dad. Look out. He's very easy to have a joke with and has always been very friendly to me. I bet. Well, he's about to get a whole lot friendlier. He put on another video. This time it was a raunchy one, and it made me feel aroused. You know, I can see the... God damn it. Whenever I read about people pulling in the papers, it's a piece of piss. They put a video on, the woman's all of a sudden naked, frigging herself. You know, in real life it doesn't happen like that. You're there for hours. Oh, I have another cup of coffee. You're sort of trying to do the hint, do the old arm across, you know. Just put on a dirty porn vid and they'll be in there. I know, although you have to admire the smooth tactics of the dad who is trying to pull his daughter's friend. But this is where it gets a little bit interesting. I like it. My friend's dad started mucking around with me, play fighting. I mean, come off it. Can you imagine an old dad thinking, how am I going to pull this hot young chick? Oh, she's bloody same age as my daughter. She could be my daughter. I know, I'll do a bit of play fighting. That usually works. What? Next time I'm down the pub and I see a bevy of young hotties, I'm just go in there. Get in there, give them a bloody noogie, a couple of punch in the ribs, whatever, bit of play fighting, you know, they'll be putty in my hands. It goes on anyway, so they've been doing a bit of play fighting, and then it's got seconds later, we were in each other's arms. He kissed me, blah 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 blah, and we were all over each other. Now, because this is in the paper, you know what's coming next, and here it comes. We had sex on the floor, then on the sofa. He was fantastic, and this is a classic sonism. He's 47, but he's better than the lads of my own age. Don't they just always say that? So how does Deirdre respond to this? Well, she waffles on about how bad it is. You shouldn't really do that to your best friend. And then she offers a leaflet on love or lust. I mean, yeah, thanks, Deirdre. You know, there's some dad who's put a dirty film on, then done a bit of play fighting and pulled his daughter's best friend, and you're just trying to bloody flog off one of your love or lust leaflets. There was another good story in there, in the letters page, about this woman who's going out of this chap, and it starts off, I found a long blonde hairs in my boyfriend's bed. They're not mine because I'm brunette. I know you're thinking, that bloody dirty bastard boyfriend, he's been bloody having a bit on the side with some blonde while he's got a lovely brunette. Although I did just think, what, you know, do girls really go around looking for hairs in beds? You know, you want to be careful, because you're going to find a lot of little curly black ones in there. Doesn't really sound that good to me. Anyway, you at the moment, the sympathy's with the girl. You're thinking, poor little love, she's been mucked around. And then she goes on, I'm 32 and single. He's 35, and his wife died last year, leaving him to bring up their son on his own. And now you're thinking, bloody hell, simmer down, love. There you go, he's lost his wife. And he's got a kid, you nip in straight after the accident, or was it? And then now you're complaining that there's some blonde hairs in the bed. You know, that could be his bloody dead wife for all we know, you bunny boiler.
First, my brother has a cleft chin. What the fuck's a cleft chin? Is it one of those bum Steve Davis bum chins? I just thought you got that through over-usage of the snooker cue on chin area. The thing about work is when I'm at working, right, all I can, what seems to dry, I'd say office-based work, I'm not sure about, not too pretty to do work manually, So I just sort of wheel myself near a computer and then flop on there and poke my fingers at the keys. That's work. But all the time I'm thinking, as soon as I get in, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. And that kind of keeps you going. And then when you eat your lunch, then I find it quite sad. Because I've been looking forward to that all day. And that's the highlight of my working day. And it's gone. But I've still got like 3.5 hours to go at work. 4 hours maybe. And that's after you get the high of eating the food, there is the low. People say it's insulin and whatever, but that's bollocks. The thing is that the hope that's been driving you all morning has now evaporated, has been eaten away, literally. And then now you've got nothing to look forward to, apart from looking forward to your dinner. And that's what you do then. It's just completely food-based in the office. And some days you'll be working and you think, I'm really bored. I'm going to eat something. That's what happens in the office. You get bored, so you eat. You're bored at work, so you just eat something. And it's usually something bad, like Chris, so you just get fatter and fat.
A sausage. You think, I don't know you. And I don't like you. A sausage. What the fuck's this? A sausage. What do I do with this? You don't be given a sausage when you want a knife. Well, I suppose you can train the sausage to cut things up, but it's going to be a lot of fucking sausage. Good effort.
News nugget. This isn't a news nugget, really. It's just a headline. But I knew that the rest of the story wouldn't be as good as this juicy little headline. Tortoise sets house on fire. I mean, that sounds tough, doesn't it? Sounds like a renegade tortoise has rushed up a good 1 mile an hour, set fire to it, and then ran off. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to catch, wouldn't he? There he goes, get him! Something about a bloody tortoise hibernating. He wakes up early, pushes over the hot lamp, fire. Having a pet tortoise must be a bit rubbish. I mean, what can you do with them? Can't really play throw the stick, it'd be gone ages. Can't do anything. Come on, everyone, come round to watch my tortoise. There he goes, not doing anything. So we'll come back half an hour. He'll have probably gone about 2 steps. Woo! MP blames quakes on gays. The kind of headline we like. An Israeli MP has banned a spate of... He's banned a spate of earthquakes. Stop that, earthquakes! They went, sorry, and stop. He has blamed a spate of earthquakes in the Middle East on gays. Wonder what they've been doing. Tell you what, if he thinks that gays could actually have hurricane-inducing powers, I wouldn't be saying anything bad against them. I'd be saying how bloody good they are. Please don't send one of your hurricane-y quakes down towards my house, thank you very much. In this place, he's an ultra-orthodox Jewish Shaz party. Sounds a bit like something out of S Club. They've had 6 earthquakes in a small amount of time, and he says the tremors could be stopped by repealing liberal laws on homosexuality. He must think that all the bumming is somehow causing vibrations. They're having sex with such vigour, they are literally shaking, the ground is moving for these rampant homosexuals in the Middle East. Like pneumatic drills. So they changed this law to be liberal with the homosexuals, and then, just 2 days later, 6 earthquakes hit the country. He says, why do earthquakes happen? One of the reasons is the things to which the Knesset gives legitimacy to sodomy. Well, God says, you shake your genitals where you're not supposed to, and I will shake my world in order to wake you up. He has an interesting view on homosexuality and what they get up to. There's a lot of genital shaking going on. Stop that! I'll have a double jingle latte, please. I'm sitting at my desk in a fog of despair, like a little train chuffing along. Chuff, 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 and just farting away. Interviews, Hosk. Now, Hosk, what do you say to people who say your podcast isn't funny? Well, if I saw those, I'd just go, I can't remember. I would go, you're a twat. I'd just go up to them and say, you're an idiot. I'd just say you're an idiot. I wouldn't do like this, what in the playground say the spaz. Because that would be discriminatory to those. You know, special little fighters, you know, and I love those guys, you know, so I'm not going to lay down them, although it doesn't probably matter, because they're not listening to this, I imagine. I don't, can they work computers? Maybe. But, you know, most people, they don't understand funny. See, that's their problem. You know, they probably wouldn't even know if funny came up and bit them on the ass. Although, well, funny probably wouldn't bite people in the ass, it'd probably sting them, because that is more funny. Instead, they'd probably get stung by funny and go, "Ah, oh, what's that? That's not funny, it hurts." And that's the problem with them, you see. And I don't need those people listening to this podcast, because they don't get it. Don't torture yourselves. Just piss off. See, the thing is, that funny is what funny does. And some people don't understand that. So even though they're hearing or seeing or hearing something funny like this podcast, their brain doesn't realise that it's actually hilarious. And so the brain's not triggering the laughter gland, so their mouth isn't guffawing, you see? And they can probably have a physiotherapist look at that, or look it in their head and walk around and release it. But, you know, you've got to be proactive in this game. No one likes to lose or not find things funny, which is important in life, because laughter's the best medicine. Should never forget that.
Fucking geese with bastards and
genital shaking.
Fucking bastard.
Bollocks.
Fucking hell. Quiet with fucking hell. I'll fuck that right up. You fucker. Fucking geese with bastards and
genital shaking.
Fucking bastard.
Bollocks.
Fucking hell. Quiet.
Fucking geese with bastards and genital shaking. Fucking bastard. Bullocks. Fucking hell. Come on, fucking hell. I'll fuck that right up. You fucking prick.
Geese with bastards and
genital shaking. Genital shaking. Bollocks.
Fucking hell. Fucking hell. You fucker. You fucker.
Fucking geese with bastards and
genital shaking.
Fucking bastard.
Bollocks.
Fucking hell. Quiet with fucking hell. I'm fucking that right up. You fucker.
David Bowie!
You get hit the bog of eternal stench.
David Bowie!
Little Labyrinth reference for you there.
With David Bowie!
Leaping around in tight trouser things.
David Bowie!
Where did that accent come from?
Yes, indeed, sir. You're
get
fucking
the fuck! Get the fuck!
Stop making me insult you. It's just like...
Stop forcing my hand.
Honestly.
Stop fucking forcing my hand.
And here is... Are the Muck-Ups.
Movie cliches.
Fucking geese with
renegade tortoise has rushed up a good 1 mile an hour, set fire to it, and then ran off.
To catch you out. What a pointless piece of air that farted out of his mouth. To catch you out. To catch you out. To catch you out. And tell Bill Gates I sting it.
Ahead, keep right.
That Valentine's Day, as she unzipped his flies, he couldn't help thinking, not a bad return for a bunch of flowers and a box of chocolates. You know, if in no way whatsoever really is bumming someone a teaching tool, you know, I'm going to show you a lesson.
After 800 yards, keep right.
You're thus listening to this thus. That's my impression of, his name, that old gangly twat with the funny hair, swears at old men, Russell Brand. You find someone's gay, the last thing you do to punish them is give them a good bumming.
I am visualising me ninja kicking a bloody goose.
A lot of genital shaking going on. Stop that!
Right.
Oh, snowy, 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 snow. The snow, 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 snow. It's a poem I just wrote. It's beautiful, isn't it? Heart attacks they have on soap operas. Gonna put your arm up to the air and...
Vogel over zijn eigenlijk het... Dat me... Dat...
Je probeert dan terug je toekomst.
Plus het feit, als je met seks omgaat, is het niet alleen het fysieke dat telt, maar ook soms het lieve woordje.
Onze professor, op het moment, nou we hebben een clip of als ik zelf aan.
Yeah, I saw a mother.
What?
You're like, I haven't got a clue. Girls in the street started giving me the big eye. Unusual to hear where they started and then what they finish on. Make your weapon esteemed. Yeah, brilliant. My rod is so big that it can be shared among five mouths. Oh, yes. Share it. Share the wealth. Yeah, brilliant. Oh, Lordy B. Right, that's all. So.